the streets alone at night and felt like someone was following you? Have you ever gotten into your car and felt the need to check the back seat? If you are a girl, you probably answered yes. But really, we all should. This is your host, Maddie, and we're back with another podcast on human trafficking. Throughout the semester, we have been working through different analyses of the trends in the media about human trafficking. Today, we'll be digging deeper into why it's such a big discussion at the moment. You'll hear from Hayden, Sarah Grace, Abigail, and I to see the impact this discussion has had. The United Nations defines human trafficking in three elements. The first element is the act, which is described as recruitment, transport, transfer, harboring, and receipt of persons. The next element is how the act is done. The means are threat or use of force, coercion, abduction, fraud, deception, abuse of power or vulnerability, and giving payments or benefits. The most important element, however, is why they do it. The purpose can be exploitation of any kind, whether it's prostitution of others, forced labor, sexual exploitation, slavery, or removal of organs. It all falls into the realm of human trafficking. The criminalization of human trafficking involves attempts to commit a trafficking offense, participation as an accomplice in such an offense, or organizing and directing others to commit trafficking. While there are similarities, human trafficking and migrant smuggling are very different. The differences include consent, exploitation, transnationality, and source of profits. For migrant smuggling, unlike human trafficking, there is consent. Migrant smuggling is finished when said migrant reaches their destination. After a human trafficking victim reaches their destination, they are exposed to continuous exploitation. Trafficking doesn't always leave the country either. Unfortunately, victims often do not even leave the state they were abducted in. However, both acts have a means of source of profits. Smugglers get it from transportation services, and human traffickers get their profits from exploitation. An issue that commonly surfaces is what if a victim consents? The answer is simple. A victim may consent, but their consent is negated if any acts of trafficking are involved. The statistics around human trafficking are jarring. 24.9 million people are victims of forced labor, 16 million of those were trafficked. 4.8 million people are trafficked for sexual exploitation, and 4.1 million are trafficked for forced labor. About 20.9 people are trafficked internationally. 71% of the victims are girls or women, as they are disproportionately affected. You are at a higher risk or more vulnerable if you are a member of a marginalized group, exposed to trauma, not able-bodied, an immigrant, or if you come from a broken home. Traffickers will often use psychological tactics and manipulation to lure in victims. Recently, anti-mask crusaders have sought to use human trafficking as a reason to justify not wearing masks during COVID-19. In August, there were a plethora of social media posts comparing human trafficking to COVID-19. One of the posts reads, "Your masks assist them in being transported, undetected, and unidentified by anyone. This is very much untrue. It creates false understanding and relation of human trafficking and COVID-19. It is attempting to scare people into keeping their children and themselves from wearing masks. Another side of this comparison is spreading false statistics. Some memes feature the statistics like, a child in America is 66,667 times more likely to be sold to human traffickers than die of COVID, and referring to sex trafficking as the real pandemic. In contrast to this, there are tons of Instagram posts that speak truthfully about human trafficking without advancing self-interests. One post from October 23rd, a user talked about the term coyotes. This post calls out Twitter users with quote-unquote blue check marks making a joke out of the term. Coyote is a common term for human smugglers along the U.S.-Mexico border. It features an explanation from @ElizaBlue, "One of the greatest tragedies to me is that some folks will pay a coyote to smuggle them and end up being trafficked for sex labor. They pay their own traffickers to be trafficked." This post is an accurate depiction of what a spreading awareness on social media forums should look like. Short, to the point, real facts, and in a form that people can easily understand. This medium also reaches the intended audience, teenagers using social media.
Human trafficking affects many people's lives. Whether you have encountered human trafficking personally, or if not, you may know someone who has, like a friend or a family member. Human trafficking is a subject that has been discussed by professionals and ordinary people for years, and a lot of questions have been raised. Questions like, where do human traffickers kidnap their victims? How to identify a human trafficker, and who are the victims of human trafficking? Before discussing these questions, I would like to ask you a question. When you think of human trafficking and all that plays into this terrible act of dehumanization, what is the first thing you think about? What picture comes to your mind concerning the victims and the traffickers? Keep your answer in your mind throughout this part of the podcast. After numerous amounts of research and having people in my community answer the same question, I noticed a pattern in the answers people gave. The majority said that when they thought of the victims, they pictured women and girls. For traffickers, they saw middle-aged men, and for the designation traffickers kidnap their victims was often streets. These are just some of the stereotypes that go along with human trafficking. There are many more, but I have chosen to focus on these. If your answer matched what everyone else said, ask yourself why. What are the reasons or situations that made you think the way you did? When I researched people's opinions on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and articles on this matter, and asked the people in my community why they made their assumptions, I got two common answers. The first was that those are the people they see in movies and in TV shows. The second answer was simply that they did not know why they thought the way they did. Along with every other stereotype, people tend to believe what they see or hear from other people, whether what they're hearing is false or not. That is why it's called a stereotype. It, by definition, means a widely held but fixed or oversimplified image or idea of a particular type of person or thing. Professionals in human trafficking have linked the stereotypes surrounding human trafficking to be the result of what people see on social media, movies, and in TV shows. Sylvia Rodriguez-Lopez, a member of the research group on criminology, legal psychology, and criminal justice, states that the way the media portrays human trafficking has a significant influence on the construction of social perceptions and consequently on the development of a legal framework to fight this crime. Movies often show traffickers as being middle-aged men or older men, while the victims are female. They also show traffickers grabbing their victims off of the streets in broad daylight. Dr. Kimberly Melman Orozco, who has a PhD in criminology, law, and the society, and who is an expert in human trafficking, states that, although kidnapping is possible, experienced human traffickers are skilled in recruiting their victims through false promises, deception, fake relationships, and other forms of fraud. She also states that, and I quote, it's not happening overnight, or as some people have described, in a matter of minutes or seconds. She said, I've seen them take as long as a year or 2 years before they lure their victims away. It's a long-term process. Dr. Kimberly has interviewed with thousands of human trafficking victims and traffickers themselves, and out of all of the interviews, she stated that only a few victims were kidnapped off of the streets. Traffickers are also not all middle-aged men, and victims are not just women and girls. They can be young children, boys and girls, parents, friends, men and women, co-workers. My point being that anyone can be a human trafficker or a victim, and it can happen anywhere. The dangers of having these stereotypes about traffickers and their victims is that when you have a certain belief instilled in your mind about how, where, or what something is supposed to be like, then it is very easy to overlook things. With the topic of human trafficking, you can give the abusers or the traffickers a free pass while failing to recognize certain victims.
Hey guys, this is Hayden Sheff, and for this part of the podcast, I will be focusing on how conversations about human trafficking has changed over time. Throughout the past couple of years, the conversation about human trafficking has become more popular. The question I focused on was why. Why do people seem to care more about it now, and what has caused the change? After looking at different documents and sources,
I believe that this change is due to a mix of personal experiences along with support from larger organizations and people with large platforms. Human trafficking has been an issue for hundreds of years, but finally became a political issue in the early 1900s. By 1949, the United Nations still noticed that work needed to be done and passed the Convention for the Suppression of the Traffic in Persons and of the Exploitation of the Prostitution of Others. Although this was a step in the right direction, human trafficking continued to increase. In 2004, George W. Bush announced some human trafficking initiatives and was later followed by Barack Obama, who talked about human trafficking in 2012. Barack's speech about human trafficking was seen by millions of people, and he stressed how important it was, but also made comments in the speech that made it more personal. More specifically, he said, "When a little girl is sold by her impoverished family, girls my daughter's age, runs away from home, or is lured by the false promises of a better life and then imprisoned in a brothel and tortured if she resists, that's slavery." The inclusion of girls my daughter's age makes people who are listening focus on how it can honestly happen to anyone. Someone who is your neighbor, family member, or even a colleague. These men speaking out against human trafficking is important because they have a huge platform that allows millions of people to hear how important it is. Those who supported Obama and Bush were more likely to follow up on this matter and become educated, which is the first step to take when discussing human trafficking. As time went on, more and more people discussed human trafficking, and that was most likely due to the fact that the amount of reported cases went up, so the media was seen discussing it more often. In 2015, there was 6,000 cases of human trafficking reported. Now in 2020, in California alone, there was 1,507 cases, 1,080 cases in Texas, and 896 in Florida. We can notice from these numbers that as the number of cases increased, the amount of conversation also increases. This is mainly due to the fact that people are starting to have more confidence in discussing their personal experiences, and when one person speaks up, others tend to follow their lead. For example, in the movie entitled The Heart of Gold, there was one gymnast who expressed her issue with sexual abuse from a trainer. No one believed her, but once one person came out about it, more and more built up the courage to do so as well. This allows for the conversation to grow into a huge snowball that keeps getting bigger and bigger. Along with this show, there are a few blogs that all revolve around personal stories, which in reality have a bigger impact than just reading an article about what human trafficking actually is. One story entitled Put Yourself in My Shoes is explaining what happened to this specific woman, but at the end, she asks others to put themselves in her own shoes. This is a powerful thing to ask because it may be correct to assume that we will care more about a specific issue if we went through the same things. With more people becoming willing to discuss their stories, celebrities and other people with large platforms offer their support. One person in particular is actor Ashton Kutcher. On September 21st, 2020, Kutcher sent out a tweet discussing 5 facts about child trafficking that will help you make a difference from his organization, Thorn. This tweet got 262 retweets and 822 likes, not to mention it was most likely seen by a decent amount of his 17.5 million followers. This type of platform also allows for messages to be spread by someone who is well-respected and someone who can get others' attentions. Another celebrity that has spoken out against human trafficking is Angelina Jolie, who co-hosted an event to educate individuals on this topic. It is so important that celebrities speak out on matters they find important because it is possible that even just one person will be encouraged to look more into it. Another reason why conversation is increasing is due to shows and movies depicting this issue. One documentary in particular was the series Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich. In this series, they go through different aspects from Epstein himself to the women's stories. When viewers see the emotions on the victim's face, it depicts how terrible the situation actually was. Another movie on Netflix that sparked a lot of conversation was 365 Days. Although Netflix themselves were slammed for this movie due to glamorizing sex trafficking, it allowed for more conversations to spark about this topic. For example, a Welsh singer named Duffy released an open letter to Netflix chief executive Reed Hastings, raising many concerns about the movie. Her letter was published to the public with a petition for the movie to be removed from Netflix. Within one day, the petition had over 6,000 signatures. Duffy urged people to learn more about human trafficking and pledged to make a difference. Without a big company like Netflix, it is likely the backlash would not have been as large and a petition would not have been made. One last example was in Grey's Anatomy Season 16, Episode 18. In this episode, they show sex trafficking and just how hard it can be to tell it is going on. This is an important thing to show because although it is just a TV show, it gives real advice on warning signs of victims. We can see that there has definitely been a step in the right direction when it comes to human trafficking, but there is still a lot of work to be done.
Now, I saw a very different trend in the media, specifically the QAnon conspiracy belief, that has been in social media more than ever in these past few months, giving out information about BLM, the election, and COVID-19. And this information is simply not true, yet so many people believe and support it. They even go as far back as promoting the belief that John F. Kennedy's assassination was a faked death and that 9/11 was so-called fake. One of the most popular QAnon conspiracies today have the supporters believing that the world is run by a cable of Satan-worshipping pedophiles who are plotting against Mr. Trump while operating a global child sex trafficking ring, and that President Trump was appointed in order to end this trafficking ring. They believe that these pedophiles consist of different Democratic leaders, movie stars, and even Pope Francis. They are claiming that these victims are not kidnapped or taken by strangers and pimps, but that they are abandoned by society and that the perpetrators kill and eat their victims when they are done with them. There was also a huge claim made that the company Wayfair was not just selling furniture, but furniture with children inside of it. Putting out this false information is taking away from the educational benefits of learning about what really goes on in human trafficking and how we can help. One time where we have seen the QAnon conspiracy take over the light is during the protests against child trafficking and pedophilia. People were lined up down the streets with signs creating awareness and bringing attention to the need for urgency to help these children. Then, you walk a little further down the street and you see signs that say, FBI, 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 investigate, Piazzagate, and where we go one, we go all, a slogan of the believers of QAnon. There was another incident where this happened in Phoenix, Arizona, where hundreds of people joined in holding up signs to draw attention to the issue of child trafficking, very similarly to the example above. There were signs even more closely related to QAnon, reading, Q sent me, and others including cutouts of Hillary Clinton, Jeffrey Epstein, and other people the QAnon conspiracy claims are part of the sex trafficking ring, bringing attention away from the actual issue and to the QAnon conspiracy. Advocates for child victims have been working for years to expand public awareness surrounding sexual exploitation and trafficking, and their efforts are being shadowed by the beliefs and misconceptions brought out by the QAnon supporters, and many think this could be detrimental to the work that has already been done. In fact, a professor at Point Loma Nazaré University expresses her concerns. I'm troubled by the misinformation that is blended with true concern, as this conspiracy so easily misconstrues the reality that is human and child trafficking. What we've heard today has really opened my mind to how much social media creates discussion and change with these kinds of issues. You not only have to have platforms that give out the information and educate others, but make sure it is the correct information. This really shows how big of a role social media has, even in just our everyday lives. We cannot believe everything we hear, and we must put our support behind the correct information.